Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're going to sort of explore, actually, I think I'm going to step away from the microphone real quick here, so Mom, get ready to fill some air's time, okay?
Okay.
We're going to talk about hand beading. This is just so much fun. Like, I'm so excited to talk about this subject, because it's fun to do, right?
Okay.
Like, I mean,
yeah.
Isn't it fun?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, you're looking at me like, I don't know. It's something that I really fell in love with when you started to do it and teach it. I would think I was like in fifth grade when you did this. Oh, look, here.
Did big time heavy stuff?
Yes.
Well, that came later when I, this was later than when I started it, but when
okay,
is that?
Okay, but this is April 2000.
Okay.
So fourth, fifth grade.
Well, I started, but I didn't find this particular woman till like 2 or 3 years into it.
Okay, well, I think that I learned a lot from this book too, but somewhere around that time where you got into it. But talk about how you started to get into hand beading, and I'm actually going to go get a couple of boxes of beads, though, for us to look at too, okay?
Okay.
So talk about how you got into it, why you got into it.
Well, why did I get into it? Gee. I think one, as best I can remember, is Hillary had these bridesmaids' dresses from being a bridesmaid, and yet she needed performance dresses. And I said, well, I can add beads to that, right? Or sequins or something like that. You know, we'll dress it up, so to speak, or change it so it won't look so much like a bridesmaid's dress. So that's sort of where I started. My problem at that time was I could not find a lot of stuff on hand beading other than Native American beading was like what I found the most on.
Like that, the weaving.
Like the peyote beading.
Yeah,
and
that technique.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, which was excellent.
Right.
But it wasn't always the materials I wanted to use.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but they had a lot of neat stitch patterns and things like that that helped me out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing was I was kept trying to decide what kind of thread I needed to do this with.
Yes.
You know, beading needles didn't seem to be a problem finding those. So
so you really got into this.
Oh, I got into it big
time. But wait. You really, the catalyst for all this was like performance dresses for Hillary in college.
I think so.
Okay, this is so funny because I just have to explain this to everyone, okay? Hillary was a vocal major, and like, Mom, okay, this is just darling.
Well, I don't
Mom,
know why I'm just laughing.
You were so concerned with Hillary, like, looking good and wearing something absolutely beautiful while she was singing.
I have to tell you, there were some really awful dresses.
Well, okay.
I saw some beautifully talented people, men and women, who looked terrible, which I thought was distracting when they had these beautiful voices.
And they're supposed to be performing.
Yes, and I felt like distracted by what they were wearing.
Yeah.
It didn't fit,
You
know, or maybe like, here's these young girls with big bosoms and they were hanging out the sides.
Right.
And I was like, this is distracting. I should be constant, you know, people should be listening to these people.
Right.
And I remember, I think I've told you this before, I saw Itzhak Perlman.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was actually Phil Donahue. That's how long ago this was, like 30, 40 years ago or something. Interview Itzhak Perlman. And I don't know if you know, Itzhak had polio as a child.
Mm-hmm.
So he walks with crutches, you know, he can't stand on his own very well and all this kind of stuff. And he talked about it's 50%, and he's a violinist.
Right.
I mean, you know, world renowned. I mean, you know, no one better at certain times, right? And he talked about how you should look. And he said, you should not be a distraction because half of it is how you look. And he said, you know, sometimes he liked to be seated.
Yeah.
Before he was seen, especially, he did not want to, like, walk across a big, long stage where the especially if it looked like it took him a lot of effort and it was uncomfortable for him because it made the audience uncomfortable.
That's interesting.
Yes. So well, he said, you know, part of it, it's not only listening, it's also visual, and they want to feel good about what they're seeing.
That's interesting. And I do think, you know, okay, this is getting a little off topic because you talked to me about that a while ago. You brought this up a while ago. And I wonder, though, how things have changed nowadays in terms of, like, people trying to be less, like, ableist,
like,
you know,
yeah.
and less, like, you know, I don't think yes. he thought that people were no, like, oh, you're a bad violinist.
No,
or
no,
anything,
I think what he was saying is yeah. he did not want to distract from his music.
He wanted that to be the right. only thing people were thinking about.
And costumers, I've heard this from more than one professional costumer, right?
Uh-huh.
Because oftentimes costumes will not get
mentioned
uh-huh. in by critics or, you know, in critiques or whatever, right? And the costumer is thrilled because it means it did not distract from the performance.
Sure.
So if the costumes are not addressed, you know, by a critic, that's good.
That's considered
almost as good as it gets. Now, of course, you know, if they're mentioned about how wonderful they are, that's great.
Yeah.
And more than great, you know.
No,
but,
that's very
but
interesting.
Yes, because it should be part of what's happening and not a distraction or even a focal point.
Right. Okay. So I just thought it was really interesting that I'm just looking at a lot of beads here, that this resulted from Hillary being music major.
Well, I mean, you're looking through the beads that are in the case that your dad made, right?
Yeah, yeah. And
but the funny part yeah. about the case being made, right, is that at one time I had them in this, like, tackle box thing.
Yeah.
Now, it was an extravagant tackle box, right? Uh-huh. It was a $75 tackle box, not like a $20 tackle box, right?
Right.
And your dad saw that, and he goes, wow, that's kind of an expensive container for some beads, isn't it? And I thought, oh, my God, thank God he doesn't know how much the beads are that are in them. Because I'm sure there were thousands of dollars worth of
there's
beads
thousands,
in there.
Yeah, there's yes. thousands of dollars.
Because there's Swarovski crystals, you know, there's handmade lamp beads, yeah, all kinds of beads.
Okay, so we did get off on a little tangent there, but I think that's great because ZD really, you know, has gotten into her craft in so many different ways, and I'm myself just kind of like realizing, like, this is a part of my consciousness for a long time, you know. So ZD, you're talking about surface design beading, right? Like beading onto fabric, because like you mentioned, a lot of the resources available at the time were about the bead weaving,
right,
and the peyote stitch and all that jazz.
And one of my big concerns was, I think I can get these beads on. How am I going to get them to stay on? Because many of the beads are glass.
Uh-huh.
And some of the beads are, like a bugle bead, is rough cut on the edge. It's not polished or anything. They're made in tubes and then they're like, you know, sliced up into these little macaroni beads, like, you know. So it cuts the thread.
Right.
And, you know, I was just searching for thread. And at first I did use Metrosine.
Okay.
I waxed it and I used it. But I did have a dream that Hillary was, you know, in the hook of the grand piano, like singing an aria, and all of a sudden you heard tink, 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 and all these beads like just started like hitting the floor.
Yeah.
So I went on my search, and that's when I found out about, I can't remember how I found out about Nancy. Yeah, I think maybe she was on Alex Anderson's quilt show.
Okay, so let's...
She was beading on quilts.
I just want to mention Nancy Eha. So that's the book that I had out that I was showing to Mom. Okay, Nancy Eha's book that we are looking at is called Off the Beaten Path. And it is copyright. I'm like moving all these beads around. Let's see when this is copyrighted. 1997, 1999, second edition. And you have this signed copy from Nancy. It says April 2000.
And what's so funny is that's probably just about when I started beading. But I didn't get that book till, you know, 2 years into it or so.
I just want to say that, that when I sign books in the future, I'll make sure to date them.
Well,
okay.
I think the other thing is, I don't know, you know, the internet was up and alive and dial up anyway. when I was trying to research this, and I think search engines certainly weren't as wonderful.
Yeah.
But I was looking up beading on garments.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of her beading is on quilts.
Yes.
So I think it's one reason it took me forever to find someone.
Okay, let me give you a little update on
that. I liked, because she's a very modern beater, I would say.
Let me give you a little Nancy Ehaw update. Okay. Yeah. Nancy Ehaw is in the Craft Industry Alliance, along with okay? So I wrote a little blog post a while back called Join Me in the CIA. The CIA is the Craft Industry Alliance. And you can learn more about that when you go to sewhere.com/CIA. You know,
right.
But it was cool because they have, you know, I could go on about the CIA and how cool I think it is. That's why I wrote the blog post. But I found her. She posted in the Facebook group about like a new beading course that she has on her website now, and like some patterns. She got some videos. And I was like, oh my God. And I wrote to her. I totally fangirled her. I said, hi, Nancy. I learned how to bead from your book and my mom in, you know, the 2000s and da-da-da-da-da. I'm just like, so glad I found you. And she was like, that's very nice, Mallory. And I was just like,
she sent me a magnet, too. We used to have a magnet.
Oh, yeah. And this book, I'm going to link to it in the podcast, I promise. Just these diagrams are really great. And I had knowledge about sewing, about putting things together from you know, from a very young age. And so, but like these diagrams, if you have that knowledge, if you have some familiarity, you can get real good real fast.
Yeah, you can.
Right?
Yes.
I mean,
yeah, I would teach this beading course that lasts an hour and a half.
Yes.
And people would come up with phenomenal things after they felt confident.
Yeah.
You know, and they saw my stuff, and I was like, this is no big deal, you guys. Just fill this with beads. Do this way. Stack these beads this way. I mean, you know, they just got so into it.
Sorry, I was hogging the book.
And I got into it. I mean, so you can also do research on beads.
Yes.
Czech beads are, China beads. Mm-hmm. And, like, I mean, you can, you know, Czech beads are nicer than China beads, but China beads will do too. There's Swarovski crystals, and there's all kinds of crystals.
So you got her book.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk a little bit about just some materials before we take a break?
Well, I think, you know, I use beading needles.
Yeah.
Okay. I like short ones. They work best for me. I think they work best for fabric. I use silamide thread.
Silamide.
S-I-L. A-M-I-D-E.
Yeah.
Now, that thread is often used in by tailors and dressmakers to baste for alterations.
Mm-hmm.
But it also comes in colors. And when beading, I will match the color of the bead, usually, or the color of the garment, depending.
Depending on what's going on, yeah.
Or if I choose a clear bead and I want to add color, I might add a color through that bead.
And the silamide now, I mean, you know, It is marketed. There's a brand called Beadsmith.
Is there?
Yeah,
it's
and
probably
that's
her.
That's all the color. I don't know if it's
her or somebody else.
But we'll link to all this. But having that wax thread, and it lasts a long time.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's very nice, and it lasts a long time. It can be good for other things.
Well, I use silamide to do the bustles.
Bustles. Yeah. You use silamide for the bustles on wedding dresses.
That's why there's white and off-white over
there. So the wax thread, and it's stronger thread, so it doesn't get cut by those beads, right? By glass beads.
Right. I mean, it can get cut.
Sure.
But not like that. And the other thing is that wax allows you to get, you can, you know, mash the thread and get through that little eye of the needle on the beading needle. So that's another thing that's good. So I learned that. The silamide, I know I got from Nancy. I remember that specifically. Yay, I finally found a thread I think is decent, you know, and she's telling me how good it is, and it was.
Right.
And it was very pliable. Some of them are nylon, and they don't bend well, okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, they didn't make the bead lie flat well.
That's what I thought was the biggest difference when I forgot about this. Remember when he hosted the Bead Society at the shop?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, the good old Bead Society.
The Bead Society. I don't know if anybody's listening, Sarah or Ruth or anybody like that. But we hosted this Bead Society, and I was like, oh, I like to bead. And, man, some of these people would just look at me like I was an idiot, you know, because we like to bead on fabric, and they were very specialized beaders, you know, of that peyote stitch or of those other patterns. Not all of them, but some of them thought I was treated me like an idiot. You know,
they're more jewelry makers almost.
Yes,
I would say.
There you go.
Most of them.
There you go. So I, they like to use that NIMO thread versus the Silamite.
They say NIMO, huh? I said
it's
NIMO.
A brand.
I know.
Oh, really?
It's NIMO, right?
I don't know. I think it sounds like nylon, so like NIMO.
Maybe it's NIMO. Yeah, and I can't remember. But I tried using that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it just was too stiff. It didn't lay flat on the fabric. I'm sure it's great
for the jewelry
for what
making.
They're using it for, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's pause. Let's take a little message break and come back and talk about projects we have done with the beads. Hey, Mom.
Yeah?
You can feel free to compliment me.
Oh, no. On what?
On this.
What?
My feel free to compliment me enamel lapel pin.
Oh, Mallory, every time that you hear something wrong, are you going to make a lapel pin about it?
Maybe. Do you want one?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well,
isn't it teal?
Yes, it's teal and pink, and you can get one by going to sewhere.com/compliment.
Just so you know, I'm not putting it on my lapel. It's going on my hat.
Oh, it's going on your hat. It could be a hat pin, too. Okay, all right. So if you want to get in on the feel free to compliment me in on the club, go to sewhere.com/compliment and order our very first sewhere.com lapel pin.
Sewing out loud.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back.
We are back.
Mom has a little outline over there.
Well, I just wanted to mention, because I have had people say to me, well, how do you know? What kind of design? You know, where do you get your ideas for design? Well, same place I get any of my ideas. Like, I can look at a tree and get an idea. Or, you know, sometimes silly things. I have beaded. You know, I made a fabric one time. Remember when I was crayon drawing with...
Catherine.
Designed a fabric when I was crayon drawing with Catherine, and I don't know where it came from. It came from, you know, me drawing with Catherine. So I think you can draw your own, and you can draw them onto the fabric.
Mm-hmm.
You do it with a pencil. You can do it with chalk. Or, you know, there are quilting patterns that mm-hmm. people also bead. That what do you call it when you...
Pounce, free motion
right,
stuff.
Pounce type things with, like, stencils, things like that. The other thing, because I beaded mostly on dresses, is you may bead the line of the dress. And Mallory knows this, like a neckline.
Yes.
Or a hemline. You know, a seam line, whatever. On Lindsay, the infamous prom dress of Lindsay's, I beaded actually on the actual design of the dress, the print of the dress.
Yeah, are you going to talk about embroidery?
I am.
Yeah, yeah.
Because on my dress, on my Mother of the Bride dress, I actually did machine embroidery and then beaded onto the machine embroidery.
And this is related to, you know, of course, hand beading is related to, like, hand embroidery and like the hand crazy quilting and stuff, right? That, I think, is if somebody's looking for a design, you got an embroidery machine, that is super fun to do.
Yeah.
That's what I did a lot for, like, I've got this belt started. And I put together, like, a couple of swirly designs, you know, mirror image. And then I just, like, went to town with beads on that.
I don't know if you remember the cummerbund dress of Hillary's. It was the green dress with the sort of...
Yeah, it's like a beige, it's like cream. It's like a cream.
Creamy.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I don't know if you remember her performing in that. Everybody came up and performed in that particular recital, and everybody had, like, on a plain black dress.
Plain black dress.
Yeah, and most of them did look quite nice. And then she came up, and I don't know, how old would you have been? 8, 9?
Yeah.
You know, and you went, oh, she looks like an angel.
Aww.
It was so funny. But that dress, she really got some, we got some mileage out of that dress.
Yeah.
But all I did
was bead that belt.
Was bead that cummerbund belt. It was a big wide belt.
Uh-huh. I found, you talk about finding designs. Hillary gave me this little, like, it looked like a quill work box one time that mm-hmm. had, like, paper
yeah.
glued
right,
on
right.
it. And it was such a cool design that I traced that onto an embroidery, you know, a stretched
right.
embroidery hoop and, like,
right.
did that. But our, like, I think kind of a fun thing that we have done a lot is the machine embroidery as
yes.
sort of a base.
Well, and I
and
think,
then the beading.
You know, you and I right now are talking about adding a lot of beads.
Yeah.
And there are things where just a bead or two,
mm-hmm.
do you know what I mean? Like, you've embroidered an animal and you just do the eye. Or I'm thinking about Deitra embroidering the carousel horse.
Yes.
And she just put a few little beads on his saddle and one was sort of just dangling there. And that's the other thing it can give is it can give movement.
Okay.
You can have something hanging free.
How about my ballroom dress, the silk ballroom dress, and I just, in the newsletter a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. included
the brown dress.
Yeah, included the how to sew on beaded fabric.
Right.
So that was a brown silk dress that had, what did they call that, like, something?
Well, it's almost a lattice work. I don't know.
The dress, on the actual dress. Okay, you did beading
yeah.
there, too. But there's a lattice work back.
Right.
But then it had these bugle beads
on
the fabric.
Oh, yeah, the fabric was bugle beads.
Okay, so then Mom took these sort of, like, goldish brown bugle beads on this darker brown fabric. Of course, it made it very beautiful. But Mom took some kind of what I would call like a chunky Swarovski crystal
yes.
and put them just in a few places
right.
on the dress so that when you're spinning around
it
out there.
It catches the light.
Yeah, doing the quick step and stuff, you know, you could just get the ting, ting, ting. And you did that in the lattice work too.
Yes.
You added beads to a dress that
was
maybe,
already beaded.
Maybe someone might have thought no more beads could go
right.
on to.
But they were clear beads.
Yes,
and
yes.
it was about the light.
The light, yeah.
It was. I will tell you what it was about. It was about the light and catching the judges. That's what it was about.
Yeah.
That's what it was about.
Yeah. No, and the beads, you said dimension and movement. How about also weight?
Yes.
Okay.
I was thinking about that. In fact, our one design I think we're going to have published, we were talking about, remember we were talking to someone at
we're going to have
Common
so many
threads.
Things published
I know,
that
you
I can't
don't know
keep track,
what
okay?
but we called it the serger scarf. And we
yes,
weight it. We
yes,
usually
yes,
weight
yes.
it.
Yes,
yes.
Yes.
So oftentimes if we have like a chiffon scarf, we will weight it either at the hem or at the corners by something that dangles or is like a teardrop or something like that. You know, when you go to the corner or something like that, you can also stack beads on top of each other.
Okay, you did that on the brown dress too.
Did I?
Because
okay.
I was standard. So there's two types
yeah.
of ballroom, and I'm a little rusty on this, but there's standard and there's American, and I
right.
did standard. And there are sort of these different versions of the same dances, like foxtrot's American, quick step is standard. I think like, and there's like standard
well,
cha-cha.
You know, I know there's one that, because I remember doing the suit. One you can put the feathers on the bottom and one you
one
can't.
One you can't,
yeah.
So the right. costume is different
right,
too.
Right, right. So you kind of, yeah, they expect certain things in certain
yes.
genres.
And so I like, standard is a little like less popular. So of course I was like, I want to do that,
right.
you know. And so we had to have floats.
Right.
So you made these chiffon floats and they were attached at my lower back. And then at my wrists, okay?
Yeah.
So then, woo, so pretty, movement. Talk about movement. And they needed to be weighted down.
That's right.
And you put those big, chunky Swarovski mm-hmm. crystals on that, too. And
right.
that was really cool. And actually, just hot tip here. Those had to attach to my wrist. And what Mom did, she put a little lobster claw fastener, hook fastener thing on those floats. And we bought bracelets. We bought
Swarovski crystal bracelets.
Yeah,
yeah.
What I like to call, what Mom likes to call drag queen jewelry.
Right.
Okay, we bought two of those and just clipped those on. I thought that was just so smart.
Oh, you're so smart.
Okay. So yeah, beads can add weight. They can add dimension. You know, where do you get your designs? What's your next?
Well, beads.
Okay, yeah, great.
I mean, there's just so many when people start talking about beads. Like materials, there's glass, there's crystal. There's wood. There's clay and ceramic beads. Okay,
like those glass ones, like lamp work.
Beads are when those are usually made by hand, uh-huh. and the lamp is a flame that is burning. And basically, there's usually a bead that someone is taking more glass and putting a design on top of the bead.
There are beads. I just want to tell people real quick. I know I'm interrupting you.
There's beads that look like kitty cats. There's beads that look like animals.
There are beads in this box here that are 20 years old, okay? Because I remember looking at them when I was 8, okay? And this one here, Mom, this has always been my favorite lamp work bead. I don't know why. It's like a bluish gray, and then it has metallic gold, like swirlies on it, and then some red dots, and then it's like pink and light pink glass.
Well, after you're talking about this, you better put this as a picture.
I better put a picture. Yeah. Here, I've got actually like a system in place now for this.
Oh, okay.
So Sam and I like share a photo album.
Well,
hot
good.
Tip there. But yeah, the beads, they can be so engaging, and they can be around for a long time, right?
Right. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a bead per se. It can be a shell.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of mother of pearl shapes out there that are made to string like a bead, you know,
yes.
where there is a hole through them. Like I think I have some birds, you know, I've seen all sorts of little animals like that, things like that. Another thing I think we have to talk about when we're talking about beading too is sequins, because, oftentimes the sequin is held on by a small seed bead.
Well, and I don't know if you have, we talked a little bit about like Nancy's illustrations sort of and techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And the technique you use is going to be defined by, you know, the look you want and how you want the bead to hang and where you want it to be seen. You know, you're talking about a sequin being held on by a bead.
Right.
Okay, well, and how about some of those, like, hanging charms that look like birds or something?
That's right.
You can't just sew that straight to the fabric and have the bird's head, like, on your chest.
It depends.
And stand
out. No, it depends on where the hole is in the bird.
That's what I'm saying.
Right,
like, okay,
right.
Let's, you know what I'm
saying? But what I'm saying is it's not like a button where it's through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you won't be able to see how the bird is sewn on. It's back behind the shape or the body.
So depending on how the hole is, you mm-hmm. might want to use a different
right.
technique.
A lot of times there are, you know, artisan type beads that people have made out of clay, with their ceramics, so it can be any kind of clay.
Mm-hmm.
The polymer clays are popular.
Yes.
Okay.
That can be fun.
What's that other stuff? The
Fimo.
Not the Fimo, but the other stuff. I'll sit there and think about it, where it's almost holographic looking, you know. Anyway, there's all kinds of handmade beads that
yes.
people make with, you know, for jewelry.
Oh, people make beads out of paper, too.
Paper beads. We've made those. Wallpaper, all kinds of paper.
Or fabric
beads. That's right. So it's not, you know, the world is limitless, of
yes.
course.
Yes.
A lot of wooden beads can be carved. They can just be carved decoratively. Another thing we can do with beads, depending on their material. So if they're wood or they're mother of pearl, we can dye them.
Yeah.
So if they're an organic material that takes dye, you can dye them. And yes, I've done that.
You can dye plastic beads and
yes,
plastic
you can
buttons right?
and beads. Yes.
Great point.
Some plastic does not dye like
sure.
others. It depends on, I guess, it has. Some of them have like a coating.
Uh-huh.
And they won't dye well, or the back will dye, but not the front. So then you wind up using the back, which is fine. I've also used buttons in beading.
Yes.
I've also held buttons on with beads.
Yes.
So,
you can build like structures.
Yes.
You know, like, you know, with your beads, sort of how we were talking about
right.
the weaving, you know, that people do. But, and I think a lot of the examples in Nancy's book
uh-huh.
and still on her website, they do have to do with quilting, you know, more of a surface design. She's wearing a hat, though,
I'm
in her picture.
We do have a website. I was
wondering. What's her website?
It is Bead Creative.
Ha.
BEADCREATIVE.
Yeah, and actually she's got online courses and stuff now, which, so obviously Nancy has just been busy, you know, doing things.
She's probably as old as me.
I don't know. I'm not sure how old she is, but
I will tell you, I don't remember ever reading anything in this book that I didn't get something out of.
Yeah, and I just want to say that, like, I guess if a really excited...
It was my Bible.
Yeah.
And I would make everybody buy it. They had to buy the book to take my class.
Yes.
So.
Yes. And if a really excited, like, fifth grader, you know, can get into it, you know, so can you, right?
Right.
So you'd be able, you know, to do that. And this, we just recorded the episode about making your own wedding dress. The beading can really bump something up from, like, a casual thing to a fancy thing.
And I don't want to neglect the fact that beading can be casual, where you can go with the wooden beads, you know, or, you know, a not-so-formal bead or a not-so-formal pattern of beads. I mean, I love beads on things because you get that... texture, you get that relief on top of the fabric.
Yeah, or you can just not give a care and just, like, wear, you know, Swarovski beads around all the time.
That's
so
right.
I'm in full support of
that's
that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That was part of the reason, though, that I didn't buy beaded lace in France.
Because you knew I could bead it?
I knew, like, if I want beads, I can have them.
Right.
And I don't want them on my butt because I don't want to be breaking them or snagging or da-da-da-da-da, you know. So that, it was something that sort of set me free a little bit. But, you know, just buyer beware when you get started buying beads.
Yeah, yeah. You can get crazy.
You're going to love it.
Again, it's another library
yes,
to fill.
You'll have a bead library.
We have a stack for our beads.
You'll be like, oh, I want these foil-filled beads.
So that
I want these lamp-work beads.
I think it was one Christmas or something. My husband said, what would you like? And I said, I need a bead cabinet, and I know how I want it.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I wound up with that bead cabinet. And I think we featured that. One
it's
other time
in the first edition of the zine,
yeah.
I think, or the second. I can't remember which one. I'll have to look. But we show pictures of it and how it works and everything.
It would work for other things, too.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's a really, you know, cute little idea that uses, like, some handmade elements and some ready-made elements, you know. Okay, well, I know we didn't, like, teach you how to hand bead in the podcast.
It's really hard over the internet radio to teach someone how to hand bead.
But it is really a lot of fun, and if you're interested in adding some sparkle in that way or some dimension or some movement or something to your garments, check out the show notes of the podcast. We'll have the book there and a link to Nancy's website, and she's so fabulous and such a wonderful communicator. I hope you all enjoy it. You can find us on Instagram at ZD Sewing Studio, and you can sign up for our newsletter at sewhere.com/lovenote.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.